Hello, and welcome to episode 270 of the Casual Try Hard Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm James.
And we are going to talk about Outlaws of Thunder Junction mechanics, or perhaps OTC, or OTP, or BIG, of the Notorious variety, or
SPG.
SPG. Or OPP, yeah, you know me.
Yeah, like, you know me.
Any number of things. So we're going to talk about the technical term is cluster F of a set that is Outlaws of Thunder Junction.
Yeah, I don't even know about Magic anymore. I made a snide comment during the pre-show, but I mean, it's kind of true. Like, every time Wizards comes out with an announcement, has an announcement day, spoils something, like, I feel like I care less and less every time.
Yeah. So, I guess, I don't know, if you want to tell us that we're wrong in your hype for Cowboy Oko and Cowboy everyone else, you can get at us on social media, Facebook, Discord, Twitter, the artist formerly known as Twitter, I guess, X, or email. Come in, say hi, see what's going on.
Tell us we're wrong.
Tell us we're wrong. Tell us it is your favorite. That five sets at
right.
Once, it's your favorite. Or we're right. We like being right.
I never get sick of people telling me I'm right.
No, never.
Yeah, so hit us up. If you're looking to support the show, there's a couple ways you can do it. The first is with our TCG player affiliate link, casualtryhard.com/TCG. Surf on over there, do your shopping. As long as you follow that link to get there, you'll be supporting the show at the same time. Doesn't cost you anything extra. Goes a long way to keep the lights on, so we would appreciate that. If you want to support us more directly, patreon.com/casualtryhardmtg is how you can do that. Sign up for our Patreon, chip a couple bucks in, however much you feel like we're worth to you, and you get access to our perks, which include our show notes, so you get a sneak peek about what the show is going to be about, and our pre-show, another hour-ish of content out of us. You guys are all welcome. Bridge content finally returned. I know you guys were waiting with bated breath for more bridge content. We did not disappoint.
Yeah.
We talked about bridges because
we
it's
did.
Topical today.
It's very topical.
Or bottomical.
Bottomical of the of the bay.
Because the bridge isn't on top anymore.
It is not. Well, it's literally on top of a boat. So
part of it is.
Part of it is.
Under the water.
Under
the sea.
So yeah, all right, we have somehow five sets jammed into one set, or
I don't
something.
Even know what Wizards is doing, like
drugs.
Something along those lines for sure. I titled this a meta mechanic because it's like outside of a set mechanic, but it's mechanical in the way the set is released. So I don't know. Is it four or five sets? Is it five?
There are in the thing. One of them is, I guess, one of them is the commander deck. So there is OTJ, which is Outlaws of Thunder Junction. That is the proper Oko hat. Then you have the OTC, which is the commander product, which is the Oko hat in white.
In front of a commander symbol.
In front of the commander symbol. Then you have OTP, which is a locked jail.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have BIG, which
big
is
score.
A bank vault.
Yep.
And then you have SPG, which looks like the Pentagon if you put a star in the middle of it.
Yeah. So I think that the SPG expansion symbol is going to remain the same, like going forward, because part of play boosters is special guests.
Okay.
So I think that star symbol, I guess I don't know this for sure, but I think that star symbol is going to remain the same because that's very close to a symbol that they've used previously for something similar.
Okay.
So, again, I don't have any actual information of that, but that's my assumption. I completely missed OTP, though. Like, what is OTP?
I am looking.
65 card bonus sheet called Breaking News.
Okay, so that is
okay, the, so it that's just...
The bonus sheet. So those are the ones that kind of have the newspaper vibe, I guess?
And that's different than special guests, because I thought special guest was your bonus sheet.
I think there's, like, effectively two bonus sheets.
Okay. There's how it is, like, just now? Is this how Magic is now, is two bonus sheets?
I guess. So, let's see, what is this thing here? So, like, but the weird thing is, like, the big scorecards are just, like, seemingly random cards. There's, like, no rhyme or reason to it. Like, there's a card that could have been, like, Altec Matter Weaver. Like, that's from the last set, right? Not that card, but, like,
right.
That name, it makes a gnome.
Yeah.
Like, it could have just been in the last set.
Well, what the big score is supposed to be is, I guess, like, the lore, the quest for this set or whatever, is that people are trying to get to this. You played Borderlands, right?
I did.
You got the vault at the end?
Mm-hmm.
That's basically the plot of Thunder Junction.
Which I feel like I called. I was like, are we just going to be, like, rushing towards some, like, giant MacGuffin?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so the MacGuffin is a vault. Wait,
so what was the plot for Ixalan?
Rushing towards a giant MacGuffin.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And that,
so we're not writing stories anymore.
So that MacGuffin was the, the thing that made it so Planeswalkers didn't work. Oh, what was it called? And you drew an extra card. It was 6 mana.
Immortal Sun?
Yes. Like, is it the, like, transmutation font?
I don't know. Maybe. That card's actually kind of cool. I wish it wasn't 5 mana, but I...
Yeah.
It, like, genuinely kind of like that card. 8
mana to get your first payoff is a little to a lot much, but...
Yeah.
Like, it's cool. But... They just were like, they just trained ChatGPT on the story from Ixalan, and then say make it with cowboys.
Well, and then we get, like, Death Race set next year, right? Which I'm sure is going to be the exact same plot, but with vehicles.
Yeah. Hey, this set has vehicles. They're just alive.
That's creepy.
They're alive. They're living vehicles.
All right, we'll get there.
Okay. So the first thing is there are just a ton of different sets and set symbols and general nonsense.
Well, like you just said, the big score cards could have just been in the set.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, we have Omen Paths, so... Like, there's a way for, and we talked about this in the pre-show a little bit. I'm not going to go into that tangent right now, but there's ways for things to get from plane to plane. So, yes. Old tech, matter, shaper, whatever, like, sure, it's plausible that that person is now on Thunder Junction for some reason. But if that person's just in Thunder Junction, why can't they just be in the set?
Yeah.
Why can't Torpor Orb just be in the set? Why can't your font just be in the set?
I feel like it is definitely a, like, hey, we have we have slots to fill. And so...
But you could fill them with cards from the set if you put the cards in the set.
But the problem is, like, if you handcuff yourself by saying, okay... The new booster that we're going to have is going to have this many cards from the set. Then they're going to have this many booster fun cards and this many special guest cards and yada, yada, yada. Right? Then you handcuff yourself into being like, well, I guess we have to make some booster fun crap. Mm-hmm. And we touched on this in the pre-show that, you know, perhaps Wizards is rapidly running out of ideas.
Oh, you mean like having the same plot for like consecutive sets?
Yes, or, you know, the same plot for... I have no idea what the plot for... Like, I was thinking of the Ixalan from, like, 5 years ago. I have no idea what the plot from the last Ixalan was.
Oh, it's the same plot. They were, like, trying to get to the racing to the center of Ixalan.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because they called it Journey to the Center of Ixalan. That's right.
Yeah.
But, like, if you are running out of, like, reasonable card design ideas, more on that in a second.
Yeah.
Does it make the most sense to be cranking out, like, 400 card sets? Because I got to bang out, like, 65, like, extra cards that can kind of go in this set.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Well, what's weird is that, like, the all of these special sets have different legalities. Kind of. Except for Outlaws of Thunder Junction, which is a regular standard release, legal everywhere, and the Big Score. Like, the Big Score is legal in all of the places where Outlaws of Thunder Junction are. Like, why aren't they just one set?
Okay, so I was wrong. The Big Score is only 30 cards.
Well,
so Big Score
doesn't change where
cards.
It's legal.
Yeah. No, Breaking News is 65 cards.
Oh, gotcha.
And those are the OTP. Those are the...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but why not just make the set 330 cards as opposed to whatever it is, 295 plus 30?
Right.
Like, we could have just made it 325, and, you know, maybe one day they'll look back and be like, oh, man, I really wish we had... A bank vault door set symbol for our like, you know, for our Ocean's 11 crossover Universes Beyond.
Oh yeah,
right. Like this, now I just have to do a pile of casino chips. Like, oh man, what are we gonna do? Yep. So that's the first thing. We're just all over the place with cards and legalities and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it is something that we maybe not have talked about, but other people have, is hello, new player. Mm-hmm. Here is a pack.
Right.
And then they open the pack, and then you have to give them a flowchart so they know if they can play the cards they just opened.
Right.
That does not seem like the best new player experience.
Especially if you're not like... newly refocused on standard. Like if you're trying to grow standard, which it, you know, by all measures seems like they're trying to do, like including things in a standard booster pack that aren't standard legal probably isn't ideal. Yeah, and like I get it if it's like a card here or there that's like a lotto card or whatever that you know is a special thing and somebody else gets excited that the new player opened the lotto card and that gets the new player excited. Mm-hmm. And sure, that's worth a little bit of confusion. But if you buy three booster packs to like shuffle up and play a game with your buddy because you never played Magic before and you want to learn, and you're not allowed to play with 10 cards that you open.
Yeah, that is difficult.
Yeah.
Also, the idea of lotto cards is kind of going away when, like, they're like, oh, hey, we're going to print, what's it called? Grindstone, fine, that's a little expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you could open Grindstone or you could open Path to Exile, mm-hmm. which is, like, not played anywhere in, like, a quarter.
Or Mana Drain.
Or you get Mana Drain.
Yeah.
And it's like, this makes no... Like, there's no rhyme or reason to this.
Right.
So, yeah, it's... Like, there's less like, oh, hey, I got this really cool, like, version of this card. Yeah, it's, like, worth, like, 50 cents because...
It used to be really good until... Yeah. like every other card got really good.
Like, who has ever played Clear Shot outside of Limited?
Right.
But it gets a cool treatment.
Mm-hmm.
It's right beside Mana Drain.
Best counterspell ever printed.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, one of these cards has consistently been worth $100.
Right.
And one of them, I guess, yeah, still, it's the lowest printing is $60.
Yeah.
And another one is worth, like, not worth the cardboard it's printed on. So, right. Like, it's not even, like, universally, like, this treatment is, like, get hype, you opened one.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, get a little hype, but then go to TCG Player.
Yeah.
And see how much it's worth.
Yep.
So, there we go. So, there we have our too many sets. Could have just been, like, a set and, like, print, and remind me to, like, print some good cards in this, like, spot.
Yeah.
And not just, like, oh, I guess it, like, thematically fits.
Right.
Like, it doesn't do the job. All right, so we've now hopefully figured out what's in the pack, maybe.
I think the only thing that we figured out is what I began the show with, that Wizards is consistently making me care less and less every time they make
announcement.
Because that's exactly what this is. Like, that used to be the one thing I had left that I cared about was cool, shiny cards, and even a little bit anymore.
If you print...
Although, sure. did you see the new Thoughtseize?
I did. My first thought was like, man, the puzzle piece Thoughtseize were a bad investment.
Yes.
Such a bad investment.
That was also my first thought.
Such, like, when I saw that it was spoiled, I was like, welp.
Yeah.
That was a poor choice. Yeah. It was a poor choice anyway, I am sure.
Yeah.
But really, really a poor choice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it looks neat.
Mm-hmm. I like the art. I think the art's cool. The card looks good.
I don't know. It's just hard now. Like, there used to be, like, a cohesive look to, like, all of your cards. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, well, I like this art. So, like, four cards in my deck are going to be, like, you know, anime weeb girls. And then, like, right. I like this art. So I'm going to have this black and white, like, gritty, like, cowboy scene. And, yeah. Oh, I like this art. And so now I have some, like, Aztec print. And it's just like, are these all from the same game? Are these in any way, shape, or form related? No.
Nope.
No. I like this art, so I've got, like, four Ulamogs on cereal boxes. It's like, oh. So. All right. So our first mechanic is Outlaws.
Yeah, so Outlaws is... I guess very loose mechanic. Like, there is a thing that it does, but this is going to be the start of a theme where it feels like Wizards is just phoning it in.
Mm-hmm.
Outlaws basically groups up a bunch of creature types. Outlaws refers to assassin, mercenary, pirate, rogue, or warlock. If your creature is an assassin, a mercenary, a pirate, a rogue, or a warlock, it is an outlaw. You had mentioned in the pre-show party is kind of similar, but not really. I could have swore when I was writing the show notes that, like, we just had this mechanic. I swear there was just a mechanic that was, like, a bunch of creature types grouped together is a thing.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
So, as you pointed out, must have been a banger.
Yeah. And that's basically... the end. Like, that is the mechanic. There are things that they're going to care about you controlling a mercenary or a outlaw, or things that are going to care about like an outlaw entering the battlefield. They're just going to reference an outlaw, and that means they're referencing, it's a shortcut for assassin, mercenary, pirate, rogue, warlock.
It's kind of like a typo mechanic where it's like, oh, if you control a merfolk, do a thing. When a merfolk enters the battlefield, do a thing. But as you put it, instead of caring about type, it cares about job.
Correct.
Anyone can be an assassin. A human, a merfolk, an elf.
Yep.
Right? So it's just like, jobs matter.
Yep. Jobs matter. Specific jobs matter.
Yeah, specific jobs matter. So, like, this then, like, leads us to, like, in how many sets are we going to have, like, I don't know, the 5-0, right? Like, soldiers and, like, these are the law enforcement.
Detective.
Yeah. These are your law enforcement. People. Your Leos. So you have Leos and outlaws.
There you go.
Yeah, it's fine. My big thing is this just seems like a nightmare to remember in paper.
Yeah, nowhere on the cards that reference outlaws does it specify what the outlaws are, at least not from what I've seen.
Yeah, and like, you know, there used to be this grand time of Magic where reading the card explained the card.
No longer.
I mean,
playing the card on Arena explains the card.
Yeah. Yeah, this just screams Arena-only mechanic. I take... the client takes care of remembering that, like, this random creature that you have is a rogue or a warlock.
Well, I'm sure that the tooltip that pops up when you hover over the card on Arena is going to say what an outlaw is.
I'm sure it will. But then... you're not going to commit that to memory because you're just going to, like, your card's going to hit the battlefield and then, like,
and
three triggers are
going to
happen and you're going to be like,
yeah,
I guess that was an outlaw. Sick.
Yeah.
And that'll be that. They'll probably have, like, a weird little hat or something as, like, the little thing to, like, remind you that they're outlaws or something. But, yeah, it just feels not great.
Yeah.
Though I did like your, like, are mercenaries coming back? Can we, like, get, like, should we be getting, like, buying Lind Civvies now?
Right, see?
Yeah.
It's a reference for you OG players.
That's right. We're people who watch old YouTube videos.
Right.
But, yeah, so, I don't know. This one just doesn't feel that impactful. You could, or that interesting. You could do it with, like, any number of things.
Oh, yeah. Phoned in for sure.
Yeah, and it just kind of feels like it's not a mechanic that can easily, like, grow and constructed.
Yeah, I mean, like, next set we're probably going to have, like, a Long John Silver's mechanic where it's like crabs and fish and octopus and kraken and sea serpents.
And diarrhea.
Sure.
you can't forget. I say that, but I love me some Long John Silver's. Haven't had it in years. I probably, like, build it up in my head, but oh yeah, you some hush puppies, heck yeah.
We didn't have Long John Silvers, we had Arthur Treachers.
Okay, I've never had that.
Yeah.
All right, so next we have Committing a Crime, which is shorthand for playing the game of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, what are they, like, you're going to keyword playing a game of Magic? Like, what are you doing?
We are now currently playing Magic the Gathering children's card game for ages 13 plus, rated E for everyone. So
Now we're committing a crime.
We're committing a crime. So you commit a crime if you cast a spell or activate an ability that targets an opponent, their graveyard, a spell, or permanent that player controls. Magic is now a crime, as you put it.
Playing Magic is a crime.
Which many adults in my life in the early, in the late 90s, early 2000s, would have agreed with the statement Magic is a crime. So we just caught up. It took 30 years.
What's wild is, like, one of the places I used to play Magic when I was a kid was a church, so.
Oh, my church was not down with such
heathen
magic.
Held tournaments on Saturday mornings.
So when you do this, when you play the game of Magic, things will trigger when you commit a crime or care about having committed a crime. So, like, there's when you commit a crime, draw a card, discard a card. If you committed a crime at the end of your turn, do a thing.
Yep.
like we've not seen any. I think you said that they might have said in the article that Kamenega crime is kind of limited to once each turn.
Yes. I think they said that.
Yes. So I'm like looking now.
Yeah, I don't think it says it in
the cards that they have printed thus far.
Yeah.
Are limited to this only triggers once each turn.
Yeah.
Because I think I said in the pre-show, it is a mechanic that is fundamentally broken.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's enough ways to like target your opponent for free with just whatever.
Right.
That like if they made the payoff reasonable for committing a crime but let you do it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Like they had one that's like surveil to or something. Mm-hmm. Or scry to. And it's just like, oh, like if I could do this multiple times, there would definitely be a deck that is just like surveil to. Mill myself out.
Mm-hmm.
Win the game on the spot, right. Somehow. So they had to limit it to once a turn.
Yep.
Which, like, boo. Like, I kind of feel like it's like, we need a mechanic. We would like it to be themed for Cowboys and whatnot. And we came up with committing a crime, but then we realized quite quickly that this is unbelievably broken.
Right.
And so we're going to have to limit it to once a turn. Because there's enough like things in like old Magic that's like zero mana, do something trivial and dumb.
Yeah. Was it Reconnaissance? Is that the one I'm thinking of? That's like pay zero mana, untap a creature. Or is that maybe it's just your creatures?
I don't remember. There's Reconnaissance Mission. Reconnaissance. Wait. Remove target attacking creature you control from combat.
Oh, it's your control.
Yeah. But there are enough, like, random old cards that just, like, have, like, zero do something stupid.
Yeah.
That, like, as opposed to being, like, well, let's find them all. Let's do the gatherer search and find them all. Just like, no, let's just not make this a thing and like, you know, kind of nerf the mechanic from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of feels like if the mechanic is kind of that fundamentally easily broken.
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing it? Like, come up with something else.
Well, like you, I mean, it's just playing a game of Magic. Like, you're playing a game of Magic and committing a crime. Your mechanic is playing Magic?
I can, like, not think of any deck that would not
It just does not interact at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, even the most uninteractive decks have some interaction. Or, like, you know,
I mean, Belcher interacts once, right?
Yeah, exactly. Everything interacts at least, seemingly at least once.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have found a new and exciting way to make kicker / split cards.
This is such a weird mechanic.
This is the set's cleave.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that.
Where it's just like, crap, we need a mechanic.
Yeah.
We're talking about Spree, and this is the hottest of garbage.
Yeah.
Like, as Gavin will sometimes say, a pail of stinky fish. Because that's in one of his books. This is a pail of stinky fish.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Pail of stinky fish.
Oscar is a green grout with a pail of stinky fish. And so, Spree, how does this gem of a mechanic work?
So, this is basically kicker, like a lot of mechanics are. They're all modal cards, so they all have different things they can do. And when you cast the spell, you pay costs for each of the different things you would like to do and add that to the casting cost of the spell. Right? Mm-hmm. Do you add it or is it an additional cost? I think it's an additional
cost. It is an additional cost.
Okay. What I think, like, we've had some mechanics that were kind of like this. Escalate comes to mind,
mm-hmm.
where there was like different abilities and you could pay a kicker multiple times to like activate the different modes. What makes this a little bit different is that the costs are different for each mode that you pick.
Yes.
I don't think we've had a kicker that had a different cost for each different thing you wanted to do, which is kind of weird. What makes this mechanic really weird, though, is that, at least from what we've seen so far, if you don't choose a mode, the card doesn't do anything.
Yeah, well, so... And
you don't have to choose a mode.
The way it's worded, it says choose one or more additional costs. So you
do have to choose
in one? In the example, it's like if you cast a spell with Spree without paying its mana cost, you must still choose one or more modes and pay those additional costs. You must still choose. So you have to choose...
So you have to choose one?
One. So... Okay.
Well, that makes a little more sense.
Do you remember the... I think it was from the first Unset. Maybe it was like Unglued or Unhinged. Mm-hmm. That was like the card that was like, it had like cycling and madness.
Old Fogey.
Is it Old Fogey?
Yeah.
This is No, there was another one I thought was like a, it looked like a bunch of, like, it was like a split card of a split card of a split card.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't remember what that one was called.
Yeah. But this is kind of, so the example we got in the preview was Final Showdown. It has a mana cost of white, but in the upper right-hand corner by the mana cost, it has a little plus sign.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
To remind you, that you have to then go to the text box and Spree, and it has, so it's white plus one generic, all creatures lose all abilities until the end of turn. Or white plus one generic, choose a creature you control, it gets indestructible until end of turn. Or white plus three generic, white, destroy all creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, let me see here. A bad protection spell, I guess, like kind of a bad dress down.
Yep.
And bad planar cleansing, because it only gives creatures. So you could pay one in the white for one of the first two abilities. You could play two in a white and get both of the first two abilities.
Yep.
Or you could pay five
white.
To get all three abilities.
Yeah.
And to me, like, any of these that have two should have just been a split card.
Right.
Right, could have just easily been a split card that had Fuse.
Mm-hmm.
And it would let you do both.
Yep.
And Fuse is on a thing like Dynamite. I don't know. Work with me here. Work with me, creative.
Makes sense to me.
So... Like, Final Showdown has three modes, so this horror show templating allows them to get more modes on the card.
Is there one with more than three modes?
I think there's some with two. I'm, like, looking right now. I think there are some with two.
This Uncommon has two modes.
So, like, that just is, like, a split card.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, needing to, like, you know, make this, like, aesthetically horrible mechanic. Yeah. This is just like Cleave, where they were like, brackets. our mechanic is brackets. Yeah. It's like, could you have just called it kicker? Like, we wouldn't have been mad at you.
Right.
But, oh, like, it doesn't, like, match thematically. And it's like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Like, this spell could have been, like, Final Showdown, one of the white, all creatures lose all abilities until the end of turn. Mm-hmm. Kicker, colorless, choose a creature you control, it gains indestructible at the end of turn. Kicker, like, three white, it would have been two white. You get the all creatures lose all abilities plus the destroy all creatures, like, text.
No, it'd have been three white. Or four white.
Well, to keep it, like...
Because you add everything up.
No, but what I'm saying is if you made it kicker, right, and it started out the casting cost as one of the white, you could have adjusted this so it, like, was still a functional magic card.
Right, I gotcha.
And then just been, like, it's, like, give it multiple kickers and call that spree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we know it's a cop-out, but fine.
Yeah.
But this just feels like... or what was it Strive? Remember Strive from like
copy it for each target?
Yeah. That feels like a spree to me, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, cool. But it does... So... But yeah, the black uncommon unfortunate accident, it's just a split card. It's like two black, destroy a creature, or one in the black, make a 1/1. Like, we literally just had these cards.
Right.
Like, not too long ago. They're still in standard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have the technology. You don't have to, like, make your card game, like, objectively worse.
Yeah.
And, like, the... So when they did double face cards, right, there was a decision that, like, the complexity and the, you know, just, like, you know, not having a magic back on a card, that complexity and that change was worth the fact that you got, like, all this interesting, like, storytelling, werewolf kind of flavor stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me what the storytelling benefit of adding an arithmetic sign to one of your cards.
Right.
Right. It doesn't make any sense. So
it doesn't make any sense.
These are just split cards with extra steps, or kicker with extra steps. It's like, mm-hmm. we don't want to call it kicker, but I'm out of ideas.
Right. I mean, I guess, like, technically kicker isn't modal. And, like, I think that's what they were differentiating, was that these are all modal cards.
But kicker is modal. Right, I guess that spree would lock you into one thing. Right, yeah. At least one. But, like, Blink of an Eye is like a modal card, right? It's 2-mana bounce spell, or 4-mana bounce a thing, draw a card. Right, it has two modes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you could have worded this like, you know, it could have been like, you know, maybe equally as ugly, like one in the white, choose one.
Mm-hmm.
You get those two abilities. And then kicker, one in the white, choose one that it wasn't chosen.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't know. It just feels, I guess I don't know the most elegant solution to it, but it couldn't have been this.
No, I agree.
It just,
and that's basically the same criticism we had for Cleave was...
Yeah, like, this is kicker.
There is a way to do this, and this isn't it.
Yeah, and, like, Cleave was very much, like, you know, the, like, when you have a hammer, everything's a nail.
Yeah.
When you, like, are trying to, like, shoehorn mechanics to fit your, like, theme...
Right.
You end up with this. Where it's not a great mechanic, and maybe it's on, like, 7 cards. Like, how many cards had Cleave?
I couldn't even tell
you. Hardly any, right?
The green one? is the only one I can think of. I'm sure there was more, but...
Like, as a mechanic, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, there are 12 cards that had cleave.
Yeah, that's worth the complexity of another mechanic that doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but like this might be a like, yeah, we know this isn't good, but we need a fifth mechanic, so we're gonna put it on as few cards as possible. We're gonna make most of them like stone unplayable,
mm-hmm.
and we will never speak of this again.
There you go. Have a blast. Go on a spree.
Yeah. Woo.
Yep. So the next mechanic we have is a 2-for-1. It's mounts and saddle. Mount is a new creature type that adds actual nothing to the game.
Stone nothing.
It's a mechanic though, so have fun with that.
Have fun.
It serves no purpose other than to add a word to a magic card.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's specifically called out in this set. Creatures with the creature type mount are more likely to have a saddle ability, which is a weird way of saying that. But just being a mount doesn't give a creature a saddle ability. Mm-hmm. So mount actual does nothing other than add a word to a magic card. Which kind of makes saddle the actual mechanic and not mounts, even though they called out mounts as the mechanic.
That is so weird. Because, like, the mechanic could just be saddle.
Right.
And you don't need to have creatures that are mounts.
Right. The only purpose it serves is to add a word to the magic card.
For you to feel, like, flavorful. Like, oh, it's a mount.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I played World of Warcraft and I had a mount. I rode that. I bet you I get to ride this creature.
Yeah.
Okay.
So saddle is kind of like crewing. Saddle works like crewing a vehicle does, except that the thing you're crewing is already a creature. So it doesn't need to turn into one. Well, didn't we just have this mechanic? Where you tapped a creature to make a creature better?
Oh, what was that called? Like, Hero of Nubalnalia had it. It was, it was in Dominaria.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called. But we just had this mechanic. Basically, what you do is four cards with saddle. There'll be saddle and a number, just like crewing. And you have to tap creatures with that much power or more to saddle the creature. The creature is then considered saddled. And I don't know if there's like cards outside the mounts that will care about creatures being saddled. But I think in the article it called out that the creature being saddled will care about being saddled. It'll gain additional abilities. It'll have a triggered ability, something along those lines. They will care about being saddled.
Yes. So we were looking, the mechanic we were looking for was enlist.
Enlist, that's the one.
Which is effectively kind of the same thing, though a little bit more complicated because you do it when you declare attackers.
Right. Yeah, so saddle is also specifically at sorcery speed.
Which, I don't know if you saw my, like, mouth drop. Like, that just seems awful.
Not great.
Like, I was thinking, like, you can crew at instant speed. Yep. You can crew a vehicle that has been crewed. Now, maybe...
You can settle a creature that's already been settled.
You can.
As long as you do it sorcery speed.
Yeah. But, like, you could, like, you know, attack and then, like, crew or whatever, right? The fact that it's just, like, no, this is at sorcery speed. Like, you got to put all your cards, like, all your, like, stuff, like, face up on the table. It's like, oh, yep. Well, that's kind of unfortunate.
And we'll come back to that in a minute, too.
Yeah, this kind of feels like the dumbing down of things.
Yeah. Right, but at the same point, you're making it more complex and dumbing it down. Because you're adding words to the card that don't do anything.
Yeah, because our boy Gitrog Monster could just be a frog horror.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need to be a mount specifically.
Yep. Well, I mean, Thalia was riding him around.
Yeah. Fair. But, for this card to
Before work, he was a mount, Thalia was riding him around.
Yeah.
There's a joke in there.
Yes. Yes, there was. I was just leaving it alone. Right. Talking about mounting and riding and whatnot. Yeah. So, I guess I could see, with the Gitrog monster or the Gitrog design, right, mm-hmm. where you don't want, to attack and then you be able to saddle at instant speed, and get the ability. But hear me out. Magic is a complex game, right? That just is kind of you take agency and the ability for a player to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You attack, you think your opponent's not going to block. So you're like, oh, cool, I'm going to, now that this is getting in, I'm going to saddle my Gitrog. And then they're like, okay, kill the Gitrog monster. You tap down a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where I guess now you've got to saddle it on the front end and there's no bluffing or tension or anything. It's right. Oh, you saddled it and tapped your blocker. I guess I'll just kill the Gitrog monster now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you could attack and, not saddle. And then they're like, oh, do I, take this damage, take this six, and then kill the blocker?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not going to give us that kind of, play in interaction.
Right.
Yeah. It feels like they've been so focused and of making mechanics that can have names that are related to whatever movie they watched on Netflix that inspired the set.
Yeah.
That they don't stop and think is this a good mechanic? Does this move the game? It's one thing to move the game forward because yes, now we have saddle as a mechanic and now we can make a whole bunch of creatures that are mounts. Amazing. But, does it make the game better?
Well, I mean, you could have made creatures that were mounts without saddle.
Yeah?
A creature could have had the job mount.
Mm-hmm.
And just because a creature is a mount doesn't mean it has saddle.
Which, for some reason, we did.
Yeah.
Right? It feels like it should be if you were a mount, I can saddle you. Oh, man, can we get, we need to get, Bareback Rider, which also bad.
Yeah.
Where it can, where, you can tap it, and it gives any creature, a fixed saddle ability.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Because it doesn't need to be a mount. It can ride anything.
Oh, can you, never mind. I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
Can a bareback rider give a saddle ability to another bareback rider?
Oh, man.
So they can ride each other?
Whee! I think we still have
a circle of bareback riders riding each other. Rolling.
I think our podcast does have the explicit rating, so we should be fine for this. Okay. I don't know. The two cards are kind of that they are highlighting this on or I know they don't onboard tricks, but the train Arnax.
Yeah.
Arnix, right? Could have hey, they can pay a cost and give it first strike. That's gonna impact how you're gonna block. Right?
That wouldn't work with trained Arnix anyway.
Why?
Because it says whenever trained Arnix attacks while saddled. So it has to be saddled and then it's...
Well, what I'm saying is if you could pay to, if it was like saddle, train Arnix gets first strike.
Right.
Only on your turn. Mm-hmm. Right. So like it's a beater. So then you can be like, oh, okay, well, oh, you tapped your thing to win this combat. I had a combat trick.
Yeah.
Now I kill your trained Arnix because it's my thing's bigger. And now you took a blocker out of the way.
Right.
Right. So like your opponent could attack, and then like if I don't block, they don't tap their thing. So there's like incentive for me to block to try to get mm-hmm. them to tap their thing. Because maybe I have a spell that like kills a tapped creature, and like I would trade this creature for that one.
Right.
And that's just like kind of gone now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It being at sorcery speed just feels like they're like, we don't like, this is a we don't like onboard tricks thing. Because I think it just plays too much like on an onboard trick.
Yeah.
And so they're just trying to avoid onboard tricks.
Could be.
Which, like, you know, was a part of Magic for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
But now isn't, which...
Well, so that's really... Yeah, you're right.
Or it's less. Every so often, like, yeah. one, like, sneaks through, and you're like, why did they print this? So yeah. maybe the other way you're like, oh, why did they, like, print this where it's, like, the onboard trick of, like, oh, does it have first strike?
Well, I mean, what I was going to say is, what feels worse, though? Like, getting got by an onboard trick or getting got by... a spell that didn't cost anything.
True. Probably the spell that didn't cost anything.
Right. So, like, why are you trying to prevent onboard tricks when you're, like, filling formats full of free spells?
But I guess, like, from a limited point of view, right? Like, the onboard yeah. tricks in Limited are kind of blah. And, like, yeah. people play, like, one Modern Horizons draft because they're $40 and then don't ever play one again.
Yeah.
So...
Not this time around, it's going to be an arena.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So far, this feels like a swing and a miss. Like, as soon mm-hmm. as I saw it, I was like, I know what they're going for. It's stupid.
Yep.
Like, I totally grokked what was happening.
Yep.
Cool. And then it's like, I don't like it.
Yep.
All right.
So, talking about dumbing down the game and not having... onboard tricks. The next mechanic is plot.
Yeah.
Now, if you played during Kaldheim, you would remember Fortell.
Mm-hmm.
This is very similar to Fortell, where plot is a cost that you pay while the card is in your hand, and you pay that cost and exile the card, and then later on you get to cast the card. The difference between plot and Fortell is that your plotted card is exiled face up, so your opponent knows what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to pay the mana cost when you cast the spell.
Yes, you take care of it all, like, all up front. So, like, you just...
Yeah. Where, like, a lot of Fortell cards gave you a discount on the back mm-hmm. end because you paid for it early. This is not like that. You just pay the cost up front.
But it makes everything a sorcery.
Yes.
So when you plot, so the card that one of the cards uses is Plan the Heist. It's a sorcery to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So you plot it, and then you can only cast it as a sorcery. There are yep. some cards that give a card plot or plot mm-hmm. a card, and would make an instant only be castable at sorcery speed.
Yep.
So did you see the joke for... I guess it's even works without the plot, right? So, like, when you cast a spell,
mm-hmm.
It leaves your hand. So they, like, surveil 3 if you have no cards in hand, then draw 3 cards. That works if you cast it from your hand as well, right? Because then your hand is empty.
If it was the last card in your hand, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, like, the plot thing doesn't even, like, make it so, like, you can get that ability easier.
Well, if you had, like, multiple plot cards, you could put them yeah. all in exile over the course of a couple turns. And then,
and then...
like, chain them off all at once.
Yeah. Like Secret Storm. Just set all the stuff aside and then.
Well, so that was. I know we've been poking fun at mechanics here, but that was like legitimately the one use I could think of for plot. Was where you know your deck is full of nothing but cantrips and your opponent knows your deck is full of nothing but cantrips. Like, there's no reason to not have three cantrips plotted so that you just chain them all off and increase storm count.
Yeah. Where you just like kind of put the mana on layaway.
Yep.
So it's fine. There are a number of cards that like care if you cast cards from not your hand.
Oh, that's true. Like Prosper.
Well, even in this set, like even beyond Prosper. Like I think there are some cards in this set.
Well, actually in Keldheim there was too, right?
Yeah, I think
so. The owl cared about you.
I thought the owl cared if you cast a card from Fortell. Like I thought there was a
I think there was some in Keldheim that just cared about outside the game too.
So there's Satoru the Infiltrator, which is blue black for a 2/3. It has menace, and when Satoru the Infiltrator and or one or more other non-token creatures enter the battlefield under your control, if none of them were cast or no mana was spent to cast them, draw a card.
Okay.
So, like, if you were to plot a creature.
Yep.
And then cast it and not spend mana. So that's, like, plotting. I thought there was one that was, like, if you play a card from, like, exile or not your hand. But I could be wrong. That has happened once or twice before. I don't like it. Yeah, I thought I saw something, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But these are, I mean, they're fine. Like, it's another, like, weird alternate cost. And the wording is can be cast on another turn. So for, like, Plan the Heist, it does fix your mana. It goes from two blue-blue to three and a blue.
But you can't cast until your next turn.
Yeah. I can't imagine that this mechanic is playable outside of... what's it called? Outside of Limited. Because I don't think in Modern Magic you can, like, spend...
Take a turn off to plot? Like, yeah. Reveal information to your opponent and not do anything?
Yeah. Here you go. And then not do anything. And then the next turn be like, haha. I'm now going to do two... I'm going to double spell this turn. It's like, well, no, you still only cast one spell each turn. Where's the...
So here's one worth noting. Oh, go ahead.
There's Displaced Haunt, and it's one in the blue for an enchantment. At the beginning of your end step, if you did not cast a spell from your hand this turn, and Displaced Haunt isn't a creature, it becomes a 3/3 spirit creature with flying in addition to its other types.
Okay.
And then it pays one in the blue to two in the blue to surveil one. So, like, you plot something, and then you play this, and then you cast the plotted spell, you've now cast the spell not from your hand. So you've still got to play the game, but you've met this requirement. Yes.
One thing that I think is worth noting is the plot ability is called out as a special action.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it doesn't use the stack, correct?
Was Fortell a special action?
Maybe? Yeah, I think it was.
So, yeah, so it's just kind of that same thing.
Yep.
Though I think they fixed, because, like, they initially, it was you could only foretell on your turn.
Yeah.
So you could do it at instant speed.
Yeah.
On your turn. But this, they're very much like empty stack.
Yeah, sorcery speed.
As a sorcery. It's like, okay, we got it. It is so weird that they limited all this stuff to as a sorcery. It's like they've like they just have these mechanics that are like, we're pulling instant speed interaction out of this set to some degree.
So the very last line of this section about plot says, the same timing rules to apply to any card that becomes plotted, no matter how that happens. It can't be cast on the same turn it became plotted. When you finally do cast the spell, you do so as a sorcery. So you cast the spell from
as a exile. Sorcery.
As
you
a
cast
sorcery.
It from exile. As, so if you plot a counter spell.
Yep.
So sorry, you have made a card that does not do anything anymore. So like that's like it's just awkward. And then I don't know. Do you want to talk about this cursed commander minigame?
Well, hang on. I have a what if.
Okay.
So I know I mentioned this card briefly in the pre-show, but what happens with Leyline of Anticipation?
I think the fact that plot says you do like you cast as a sorcery. On
but Leyline says you may cast spells as though they had flash.
But I'm assuming that the rules of plot supersede that. Right, because like think of like Teferi. Like you can't cast spells at instant speed or whatever the heck Teferi's wording is. So like Leyline of Anticipation doesn't like overrule that. And this says you can only do this as a sorcery. Okay. You can only cast a spell as a sorcery. So I'd assume Leyline would not overrule that, but I'm like I used to be a level a half judge and now like I'm not even that much of a judge anymore. So I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, 0.2. We are half of a half now. I'm a quarter level judge. So yeah, I'm not sure.
Something layers something.
Yeah. But my the fact that it's like you may cast it as a sorcery, full stop. Yeah. Like that's part of the ability the card gets when it goes into the magical foretell zone. Okay. So I don't think I think that is the timing that matters.
Maybe I'll have to fire it up on Arena and find out.
Yeah.
Since Arena's the new judge.
Is Leyline of Anticipation on Arena?
I think so. It was a Mystical Archive, wasn't it?
Maybe, yeah. And like maybe like plus 3 mana Teferi. Like now I can I can cast sorceries as though they were instants.
Yeah.
Just all of the stuff. Can we break the rules? It's also weird that we have like guns now or things that kind of like approximate guns.
Yeah, the weird like halo sword things.
Yeah. Yeah, is that what they are? Are they halo swords?
I don't know. That's kind of what they look like to me.
Yeah, the one in the holster does look like a halo sword.
Well, the one on the card type that you were just referencing, the guy in the middle is holding one. Looks like a it's like a halo dagger instead of a halo sword, but
the plan, the heist?
Mirian Telus Jr.
Oh, yeah. But it also looks very gunnish. But I could see it being an energy sword. Yeah. All right. And then finally, because every year is the year of Commander, we have some weird Commander minigame.
Yeah, I don't think that anybody else needs to care about this because like this is a thing that you decide to do before you start the game, kind of like Plane Chase or Arch Enemy or whatever. There's no cards that are going to interact with these. But yeah, there's a little mini game you can play during Commander. You shuffle up a bunch of these bounty cards and then I guess I don't know when you flip them over, but at some point you'll flip them over and when you meet whatever requirements, you get a little bonus.
Yeah. Starting on bounties begin on the starting player's third turn.
Okay.
Because that is intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. I don't know how many there are. I guess there are 12 or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
There are 12 bounty cards. They just started with 3.
Okay.
Thankfully, these are not, like, broken legacy legal cards or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Maybe Limited will play all right for the few matches of Limited I play, but, like, these mechanics feel, like, convoluted and, like, not great.
It's weird because I simultaneously feel, like, underpowered and overcomplicated.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a great place for a mechanic to be. Typically, you want it to be, like, intuitive and, I don't want to say overpowered, but, like, something to move the game along.
Yeah.
And I don't think any, other than maybe committing a crime, like, none of these actually move the
game. Yeah. They're just kind of like, you just kind of spin your wheels.
Yeah, they all incentivize you to spin wheels. Other than committing a crime, which, like, again, oddly enough, disincentivizes you to, like, playing a game by, like, calling it a crime to play the game, but also incentivizes you to commit a crime by playing the game.
Yeah. And then some so of weird. The, like,
mixed messages here.
Yeah, but some of the, what is it called? Some of the cards that don't have mechanics, like, seem pretty powerful.
Yeah, like what?
So you can read it here. I don't think it has a, here you go. Kellen the Kid. Bant for a 3/3.
Mm-hmm.
Flying Lifelink.
Halo Sword.
Halo Sword, yes. Whenever you cast a spell from anywhere other than your hand, so back to plotting.
Yep.
You may cast a permanent spell with equal or lesser mana value from your hand without paying its mana cost. If you don't, you may put a land from your hand onto the battlefield.
No, yeah, that seems pretty good.
So, like, imagine a situation where you have a card with a 2-mana plot card. Right, you play this, and then you play your 2-mana plot card.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to, like, ramp yourself.
Yeah.
Or put a 2-mana permanent into play. Mm-hmm. Like, unfortunately, like, you can't get paid off in older formats easily. Because, like, I was thinking, like, you know, oh, gosh, what, like, Suspend?
Mm-hmm.
Right, but, like, Suspend happens in your upkeep. So it's not like you could suspend something and then, like, Kellen would have to survive a turn.
Yeah.
For you to get the bonus.
I don't know how much this matters, but Escape is casting.
Oh yeah. Good point.
And Uro is on color.
Uro is very on color.
So you could escape Uro and then play a 3-drop.
Just put another Uro in. To draw you another
card. Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, so, like, we have ways to, like, so I think that, you know, Kellen may go the way of Prosper,
mm-hmm.
where, like, everything just ends up being good in Kellen.
Right.
Right, like, oh, I guess that lets you cast a thing from exile. Okay, I guess that's good in Kellen.
Yeah.
Oh, what is it called?
Well, except that, like, at least with Prosper, like, that's kind of on color for
yeah.
those colors.
This is, like, a little harder.
Bant isn't really the, other than Foretell, I guess, isn't really the colors of casting
things.
Or, like, things
Flashback.
From. Oh, that's true. Flashback. Yeah, Faithful Mending.
What was the other? I had another thing that was, like, Discover. Discover is casting
okay.
from not your hand.
It is.
Now, Discover was in, like, red.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really line up. But, like, that Shardless. Card seems pretty... Yeah, that card seems pretty powerful.
Yeah. I kind of liked right next to that mythic spoiler here, Magda. The new Magda looks pretty good.
Yes, the new Magda does seem kind of nutty. What does the new Magda do for the folks at home who might be following along?
It's a bear, 2 mana 2/2, and whenever you commit a crime, create a tap treasure token. Only triggers once per turn, and then you can sack 3 treasures, just 3, to make a 4/4 red scorpion dragon with flying and haste. But I mean, you can get treasures from ways other than Magda. Treasures are pretty trivial to collect.
I mean, you can get treasures from the original Magda.
You could, yep.
And like, in modern Magic, 3 treasures is like no treasures.
Exactly. Well, that's what I mean. Like, that's pretty trivial.
Yeah, we're just throwing those things around whenever.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, like, there are some, like, powerful cards in the set.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it doesn't feel like they're the cards that have, like, the mechanics.
Right. Yeah, they're just generically good.
Yeah, also, like the when you cast your set, like, there's the blue-red uncommon. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, put a +1/+1 counter on the thing and draw a card.
Yep.
Like, does this always have to, like, I feel like we get this as the blue-red mechanic, like, every other set now.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
Like, okay, I guess I'll do the thing.
Yep.
But, all right, so as you all can tell, we are pumped about Outlaws of Thunder Junction.
Yeah,
like
pumped.
Get me some shirtless Oko. Perhaps let him relive his Thief of Crowns days.
Oh, here's a great way to make some treasures.
What's that?
The Great Train Heist.
Choo-choo.
It has Spree. It's got to be good.
Oh, is it the red one?
Yeah, so it's... If you chose that mode, it's red-red. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to that player this turn, create a tap treasure token.
There you go. And you can do it, like, at instant speed. So, like, you can attack and then, like, blah.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's also, like, a... what is it? Relentless Assault?
Mm-hmm. And half a Trumpet Blast.
Yeah. Oh, but they gain First Strike, so that's even, like, maybe better than Trumpet Blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. That card's good.
Mm-hmm.
I hate when I look at cards and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's pretty good. But then I'm like, I hate the mechanic. Right. So, like, especially, like, for uncommons, I'm like, I'm not going to put you in the cube. Like, I'm going to do my best to, like, not acknowledge... Like, there's a vehicle that, like, when you... It's, like, a 2-mana 3/3 with, like, crew 1 or 2. And when you attack, you can look at the top card of your library and put a land into play. Okay, well, that's neat. But it also has, like... It has haste if you have a creature that with saddle. And it's, like... Oh. I don't want to acknowledge this. I just don't want to acknowledge this. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But, no. No, thank you.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like we're running out of ideas.
It sure does.
Like, you know,
it's kind of what happens when you burn everything to the ground every time you find something that works.
Yeah. Instead of being like, we're just gonna do this for a little bit. Like, you could just have like. Not super interesting mechanics, but still end up with, like, interesting cards in a good limited environment.
Yeah.
But. All right. So, with all that, I think we got a show?
We got a show.
So, if you are super hyped for Cowboys, let us know. Get at us on social media, Facebook, Discord, Twitter, email, all that stuff. All that is in the link below. Come say hi.
Yeah. Hopefully we gave you a little bit of a chuckle today with Brian's bareback rider card design.
Yeah.
Like you said, reach out to us. Let us know what you thought. All the social media is down below. If you want to support the show, there's a couple ways you can do it. The first is with our TCG player affiliate link, casualtryhard.com/TCG. Surf on over there, do your magic shopping, and support the show at the same time. We would really appreciate that. If you want to support us more directly, patreon.com/casualtryhardmtg. Chip a couple bucks in, you get access to our pre-show and our show notes. You also get to support us, like I said, directly. It would mean a lot to us. So
yeah. So for if you want more great card designs like Bareback Rider, hire me, Wizards, you cowards.
Bareback Rider.
And with that, we'll catch you on the internets.
We'll catch you on the internets.